Today's Shir is Masechta Kedushin Daf Samach Beis. We will begin Beis Hashem Yisbaruch on Daf Samach Beis Amud Aleph, four lines from the top of the Amud Bishlam Labchanina Ben Gamliel. As we have been learning, the Machloikus of Rameya and Labchanina Ben Gamliel, going back to our Mishnah, where Rameya says that whenever a stipulation is set forth, we have to have a Tanai Kofel, the negative and the positive both have to be articulated. According to Rav Chanina ben Gamliel, the rule that we say throughout Shas of the Mechlal Lav Atashmei Hein, Mechlal Hein Atashmei Lav, that we could extrapolate is operative. So says the Gemara, Bishlam Rav Chanina ben Gamliel, according to Rav Chanina ben Gamliel, when the Torah discusses the Saita who drinks the Maim HaMa'orim, the Torah says, "Imloy shachav ish oisach." If you do not have an adulterous relationship, "Vimloy sotis tomatachas ishech," and if you did not become defiled, "Hinoki," you will be made innocent. "Hinoki mimayim hamarma elu." It's understood that the other side is chas v'shalom, that if you did have this type of a relationship, you will be punished. So, but it doesn't have to be articulated. El Rameyer, but according to Rameyer, who says you have to say both sides of the equation, so ask the Gemara, Chinki mi boile, shouldn't have it said that if you did something inappropriate, Chinki, you will suffer. Why doesn't the Torah, according to Rameyer, that's his position, the Torah has to always say it that way, mention the other side? Answers the Gemara, Amra Tanchem, Hinoki Ksiv. The way the Torah writes the letter, it says Hinoki without Yud. It doesn't say Hinki, Hey Yud Nun Kuf Yud. It says it Ches Hey Nun Kuf Yud. And it could be read both ways. It could be read Hinoki. It could be read that you will be cleared if you didn't do anything wrong. And it also says the flip side, that if Chas V'Sholem, you did something wrong, then Chinki, you would be punished. But as Tosfos, we learned, as we discussed the halachas of Tanai, that there are many other rules involved with a Tanai. We have to have that the hen should come before the lav, the positive should come before the negative. And here it says, Imloy shachiv oisach, which is the negative. So Tosfos and Tosfos Rav say that loy shachav is the positive. Loy shachav means that you didn't do anything wrong, and shachav, it maybe is not expressed that way, but the loy shachav is the positive, and the shachav is the negative. The Ritva answers, the Rameya doesn't require that, even though, as we discussed in our previous year, Rameya has many different rules about Tanayim, that's only when something's going to be expressed truly as a condition. So when something is being expressed truly as a condition, there are rules for conditions. And one of the rules of the condition, says the Ritva, is that the hain has to come before the lav. But here, the Torah isn't really setting forth a condition. What's happening in our Gemara is that where the Torah is telling us that what happens if this woman is guilty, what happens if this woman is innocent. That isn't considered a regular stipulation, like a condition connected to a transaction, that all of those rules have to be mentioned. Another explanation that the Tosfos Yeshorim offers is that indeed, usually you have to have the hen koidem lalav, but here, the Torah wants to speak about Schus. The Torah wants to speak about the right thing happening. And the right thing, and we want to be Malamat Schus, we want to hope that this woman did the right thing, is that Loi Shachav, that she did not have an inappropriate relation. Says the Gemara, Bishlam Ramei Mehanid Ksif Hinoki. But now the Gemara goes the other way around. According to Ramei, we could understand why the Torah spelled the world in this way, because we wanted to be able to go and explain the both directions. But ask the Gemara, El Rav Chanina ben Gamliel, Lomali, if Rav Chanina ben Gamliel says that we could extrapolate. So then the Torah should have just said Hinoki, spelled it properly with the yud, and then we would understand what has to be done. Answers the Itzrich. He had to say it with this word, because Rav Chanina ben Gamliel tells us the Torah had to teach us another halacha. Sakadat Chamina, because we would think, if nothing happened, you'll be cleared. If you did do the wrong thing, nothing will happen. It will be considered that you did an Isur Ba'alma, you did an Aveira, you did a serious Aveira, Kamashmalan, that you will be punished. So, of course, all the Rishonim asked the obvious question, if drinking the water won't bring any punishment, so what is the purpose of drinking the water? So he says, what the Gemara means says that, as we know, that certain times the water won't cause her to be punished, as we've learned, in cases where her husband wasn't innocent himself. And that's why we would think that that's what the Torah means. The Rishash says that if it didn't say it this way, Rav Chanina is suggesting that what the Torah would be meaning to say is that you'll have Yisurim, you'll be punished, but it wouldn't lead to death. That's why the Torah had to say it this way, to teach us that if you did this Aveira, it will lead to death, Chas v'Shalom. Continues the Gemara, Bishlam Rameya Hainu, we understand what the Pasuk says by somebody who's a tough Tamei Meis. The Torah says, who is, and we know that somebody who's a Tamei Meis has to have the water, which is a mixture of the soita, the paraduma ash, and the Mayim Chaim, sprinkled on him. The Torah Gdosha says, who is chata by b'yom ha'shlishi, b'yom ha'shvi yiter, v'm lo is chata b'yom ha'shlishi, b'yom ha'shvi lo yiter. So the Torah says both sides of the equation. The Torah says that if you have the water properly sprinkled on you, then you will become tar, and if not, you will not become tar. But ask the Gemara, Eler of Chanina ben Gamliel, that doesn't require the Tanai Kofel, that doesn't require both sides of the equation. Lamali, why did the Torah have to say this all? Answers the Mar Itzrak. Tzakatat Chamina, because if the Torah wouldn't have spelled it out the way it spells it out, Havamina, we would, Tzakatat Chamina, we would think, B'shlishi B'shvi, that the proper way to do the sprinkling is on the third and seventh day. V'hechad, David B'chad Menayu, but if you did it only on one of those 2 days, but the evidence is acceptable. Kamash Malon, that's what the Pasuk has to teach us, that no, that if you don't do it 2 times, it's not effective at all. Says the Gemara, the Torah says, but the Torah says again, that the sprinkling has to be taking place on the third and seventh day. And we can't say it's come to teach us that you have to do it on both days, that we already know. So what is it, again, need to be said for? Answers the Gemara, Itzrach. Salkadat Chamina, B'yoyim Shvi, to teach us Lamuti Sheini, that the third day is the earliest, the third day after he's Tahor, not earlier. Shvi Lamuti Shishi, the Kamat B'meitara, because if you would have done it on day 3 and day 6, you're not doing it with the proper interval. There's only interval of 3 days, not 4 days. But we would think, if you did it on the 3rd day and the 8th day, so then you've only lengthened the time in between. The ka mapish you made tara. Instead of 4 days, you made 5 days. So maybe we would think there's nothing wrong with that. Ema shapadami, maybe that's acceptable. Kamashman, that's what the Torah had to teach us, that is not acceptable. The Torah says, V'chitoi b'yoyim ha'shvi, V'chitoi b'chibas b'gad v'rochs v'mayim v'tar b'arif. So they asked the Gemara Lomali, why was this pasuk coming to teach us? Answers the Gemara Itzrach. Sakadat Chamina, Hanimili, that when are 2 hazars required? We would think that 2 hazars are required, L'kotshim, in order that this person who has Tamei Meis should now be able to eat kotshim. Av l'truma, in order to be able to truma b'chad namisagya, 1 hazar, 1 sprinkling would be adequate. Kamash malon, that 2 hazars are always required. Teaches us the Mishnah. Ha-mekadosh is isha, somebody is mekadosh a woman, V'omar, and he says, Kesava Yisi she kahenis. I was under the impression that this woman is a kahenis. And actually it turns out that he Levia, that she's Levia, or vice versa. I was under the impression Levia, and now it turns out that a kahenis, she's a kahenis. Ania, I was under the impression that she doesn't, that she's poor, and actually Harei Shira, she's wealthy, or vice versa. Shira, I was under the impression that she's a wealthy woman, and actually Harei Nia, she's not a wealthy person. Harei Mekadeshes, in all these cases, the Kedushin is a valid Kedushin. Neshlo Yitasa, she didn't mislead him in any way. And the way to understand this Mishnah is that we learned previously that if the woman misled her, if the man misled the woman misled the man expressly, then the halacha is that it's a invalid kedushin. Teaches us if there was nothing said, even though it was a misimpression, the halacha is that it's a valid, then it's a valid kedushin. The Ran takes this a step further. The Ran comes to teach us that it's come to connect to the halacha that we just finished learning, the halacha of Tanai Kofel. And the halacha is that if it would have been expressed, but it wasn't expressed with a Tanai Kofel, that would still be an invalidation of the Kedushin. Because when somebody says something, even though they didn't say with a Tanai Kofel, but it was said in a way that it should be clear that this was meant, then the halacha is that you don't need a Tanai Kofel. If a man says to a woman, we will get married after I become a ger, right now he's not Jewish, after you become a geyris, after I am free, I'm currently never Kanani, after you become free, because she currently is a shifcha kananis, after your husband passes away, after your sister passes away, you have a woman who's a shomeres yavam. Her husband died without children, and she's waiting for yibum. And of course, the halacha, as we've learned numerous times, is that a shomeres yavam is not allowed to get married. The halacha is that if he says after you will be fit to get married, because chalitza was done, and all of these cases, ainu mekadeshes. The halacha is that it's not a valid kedushin, and the reason is because it's a davish labal olam. Right now, she's not a candidate for kedushin. Our Tan of the Mishnah obviously says Rashi is of the opinion that a yavam l'shuk, a woman who's a shemeres yavam, kedushin is not toifus, which is a very bechidish, because throughout Shas we usually pass like the chachamim, not like Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva holds the ein kedushin toifsim b'chayv elavin. Our Mishnah seems to be paskening that even kedushin is not toifus b'chayv elavin. So the question is why not? So I saw that there's some that want to suggest that indeed normally a chayv elavin kedushin is toifus, not like Rabbi Kiva. But here it's somewhat different because here he has no control over the situation. The control of the situation is in the hands of the Yavam. Since the control of the situation is in the hands of the Yavam, until the Yavam does it, the Kedushin are not Chal. So as we just explained, the Mishnah, the basis of the opinion of our Mishnah is because it's a Davish Shlabel Olam. The situation that we're speaking about has not yet come to be. And whatever the situation has not yet come to be, and there are two reasons for that. One is the Lavosh's explanation that a kinyan, a transaction, can only be effective on something which is in existence. Something which is not in existence, a kedushin cannot be effective on. And therefore here, since it's not here yet, it can't be effective. The Nemuki Yosef explains, and we often say this for it, that the basis of all kinyonim is a smichas das, a gemiras das. It's a seriousness of intent. And since it represents a seriousness of intent, you can't have a seriousness. You can't have a gemiras das on something which is shloi bala olam. V'chein, chayim l'chaverim, yod ishtach nekeva. If somebody says to a woman, to man, if your wife will have a girl, harei zu mekadeshesli, she should be my wife. The halacha is enu mekadeshes, then it's not considered a valid kedushin. There's a machloikus rishonim if this next word should be in the Mishnah. The Rambam says that it should be in our Gemara. It's in parentheses, so we'll just read it quickly. But she's already pregnant. Not only is she pregnant, but we could see that she's pregnant. And therefore, she has a girl. The kedusha would be a valid kedusha. So as our Mishnah said, that the halacha is ein adam makna dava shim loyba la'olam. But the question that the poskim discuss is what is going to be the halacha if somebody, for example, gave his word, somebody who gave his word that if I have merchandise to sell, you will be the person that I will sell it to. But he doesn't have that current merchandise. In other words, the case that the Marit discusses is somebody's in the leather business. And he says, if and when I will have leather to sell, I'm going to sell it to you. But he doesn't have the leather at this point. What will the halacha be? So the Marit says there's two different concepts in halacha. He says one concept in halacha is called mechira, a sale. And as we're learning, a sale cannot take place on a davar shelo b'olam. But says the Marit, there's something else in halacha, and that's something called an eschayvus, that I obligate myself. An obligation is not a sale. And even though the halacha is that a sale is not valid if the object that you're trying to sell is not here, an obligation can be taken even on a davar shelo b'olam. The Mishnah also discussed that in a case where the man was under a false impression about his wife's status, the halacha is that the kedushin is a valid kedushin because nobody deliberately misled somebody else. The Chasam Sofer discusses a case where a poor man lied to his kala, telling her that he's rich, but neither he nor she made in a condition that would affect the validity of the kedushin. What would be our halacha? So, on one hand, says the Chasam Sofer, our Mishnah says that the only issue is there was no explicit deception. It seems that in the case where somebody explicitly deceived someone else, it wouldn't be a good kedushin. On the other hand, that's what our Mishnah seems to teach. But on the other hand, points out the Chasam Sofer, that if we look at the Mishnah previously, the Mishnah there says where it was not just outright deception, but it was made a condition. So it seems, even if somebody was misled, but it wasn't a condition, the Kedushin would be a valid Kedushin. So the two Mishnahs seem to be contradicting each other. So answer the Chasam Sofer, there's a difference between the husband and the wife. And he says that, as we often have in Shas, Tav L'meisav Tandum L'meisav Armela, women are more interested in getting married than men. So Zok Tachsam Sofer, in the previous Mishnah, as long as it wasn't stipulated, even though there was maybe a deception, the halacha is, as long as it wasn't, the husband did not make it into a stipulation, since the wife is anxious to get married, the marriage would be considered a valid kedushin. Our Mishnah speaks about a case where the wife was the source for the deception. When it was the wife who was the source of deception, since we have the rule that men are not as anxious to get married as women, so as soon as there was a deception, even though it wasn't included as a stipulation, says the Chasam Sofer, that would already be enough of a reason to invalidate the kedushin. The halacha by Truma Maisers, the Torah says that we have to take off Truma Maisers, but only fruit, produce, which has already been removed from the ground, is chayiv and trumas amaisrus. And therefore, when we speak about taking off trumas amaisrus, we speak about tolush and mechubur. Tolush is something that was already detached from the ground, and mechubur is something that's still attached to the ground. Says the Gemara Tananosom, the Mishnah Masechta Trumas teaches us, ain tarmim al tolush al mechubur. We can't take maaser from something that which was already detached from the ground on something which is still attached from taram, and if one did so, ain truma, so truma, what he did is invalid. Says the Gemara, ask the Gemara, Bamanei Rav Asim Rabbi Yochanan, Oma Peyers Arugazu Tolushin, Yeh Truma Peyers Arugazu Mechubarim. If somebody said the fruit in this row, this which is detached, should be truma on the row which is still attached, Peyers Arugazu Mechubarim, Yeh Truma Saperuzu Tolushin, Lekashiyit Lishu, when he, but he said that it should be effective once they are detached, nitlshu, and now they are already detached, mahu. Do we say that since at the time of this declaration, they were still attached, so it's not a valid declaration? Or do we say that since he wants it to be effective when it's going to be detached, so therefore it's going to be effective? Says Rashi, what the Gemara means to say is that what the Gemara's question includes that the truma should be effective lemafreya retroactively from the time it was actually detached. Many have a hard time accepting that, and they say, of course, there's no question that it will only be effective once the fruit is actually detached. Moreover, says the Chazon Ish, that the entire discussion in our Gemara is such a declaration would or would not be effective, says the Chazon Ish, is that when these produce, which are attached to the ground, are, even though they're attached to the ground, the halacha is, they won't grow anymore. But if they're so attached to the ground that they're still growing, there is no question that that would not be effective. Esvei Amalei, so he said, Kol Shebiyadoi, anything that's in his control, where I could detach the fruit, Lavkim Chusamai Stami, it's not considered a problem. Esvei asked the Gemara, we learned in the Mishnah, Hai Melisha, Reyat Mekadeshes Liach Shezgayer, if somebody says to a woman, the man currently is not Jewish, and he says to the woman, we'll get married after I become a Jew. Lachsh tizgayri, after you become Jewish. Lachsh tishtakri, after you become, she's a shivcha knanis. He says, after you freed, the kedushin should be valid. Lachsh tach, after I'm free, he's an ever knani. Lachsh tachri, after you're freed. Lachsh mespelech, lachsh tamasakoyseh. Because right now, she's a chos isha. Lachsh, and all these cases, enim kadeshes. So makes the Gemara's point. Bishlam and Kulan, most of these cases, labayada, it's not something that he could control. El ger, somebody becoming a ger, is something that's in your control. Since it's in your control, why harbayada? So we're saying that anything that you can make happen is enough of a reason that shouldn't have a problem of davish labalaylam. So why did the Mishnah say that case is a davish labalaylam? Answers, the Gemara gar nami labiyodai. Ger is also not control totally in his control. Dom Rab Chibar Abba, Am Rab Yochanan, ger, when we speak about a geris, tsor shloisha. We have to have three dayonim, and he doesn't have control on those three dayonim. So there's a machloikis rishonim. What does it mean that we have to have three dayonim? Rashi says that for every aspect of the geiris, we need to have three dayorim. Tosfos says that for the Kabbalah's mitzvahs part of the geiris, you need to have three dayorim. But for the mila tefillah, for the tefillah, going to the mikveh, you don't have to have three dayorim. My tama, what is the reason we need to have three dayorim? Because says the Gemara, the Torah speaks about, when it speaks about Gerim, the words of the Torah, Mishpat Echad Yilachem Kiger Ke'ezrach Yia, Mishpat Ksebei, the Torah used the word Mishpat. So a Geris is like a Din Torah. And just like a Din Torah needs three Dayanim, here too you need three Dayanim. And since you need three Dayanim, Mi Yemer, the Mizkakik Le Hanit Tolosa, how do you know that you'll have three Dayanim? So of course the Rishonim asked the question, why is it so difficult to get three Dayanim? So the Rishonim explain that the difficulty is because, whereas in many situations, the halacha is that any three Jews could be qualified to be Dayanim, when it comes to Geiris, the only people who could be qualified to be Dayanim are people who are mumchim, who are experts in being Dayanim. And since only such individuals could be, it's not necessarily the case that we're going to find such an individual. Actually, there's a very interesting shaila based on the question that we just discussed. We just discussed the question, if only Kabbalah's mitzvahs needs three dayanim, or does every aspect of the dayanis, of the geiris need three dayanis? So the question is that, if the mila of the ger was done by night, the halacha is that anything that requires dayanim at the entire should only be done by day. So now the question is, will the ger have to do it over again? Because the question is that the ger needs to have three dayanim. And if you have to have three dayanim, then you don't have the three dayanim, and it could very well be that you did, if it was done at night, even if you had the three dayanim, it's not good, and it would have to be redone. Another interesting question that the Achroinim ask is that the Pasuk says by Bas Paroi, Milamit Shior de Lichot Megulgule Beis Avia, she wanted to wash herself from being an Avodah Zarah, and Rashi says, what does it mean? Litbal Hashem Geiris, to become a Geiris. But if we're learning now, ask the Turi Evin, that you have to have three Dayanim for a Geiris, so how could that have been an effective Geiris? Where were the three Dayanim? So says the Turi Evin, that when somebody is considered a Nochri, so if a Nochri wants to change his status from being a Nochri to be Yisrael, there's a procedure of Geiris, and as our Gemara just taught us, you have to have three Dayanim. He says at the time that the Bas Paroi became a Geiris, everybody was a Ben Noach, including Klal Yisrael. All the Geiris represent was that you wanted to connect yourself, that you wanted to connect yourself to the Jewish people. And since at that point you wanted to be connected to the Jewish people, then the halacha is that you have to, that three Dayanim were not necessary. The Baruch Tam says that he doesn't agree. He says because as soon as HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the Bris Ben Absorim with Avram Avinu, Klal Yisrael came to this new status. And once Klal Yisrael came to this new status, the halacha is that one cannot become a ger without three dayanim. But he doesn't really give an answer. So how did she become a geiris without dayanim? Maskla Rabbi Bamamo Elamiata says Rabbi Abba Bamamo, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that if somebody has within his power to make something happen, then the halacha is that it's a valid kedushin. So then the question should be a nice and pruta l'shivcha asai. If somebody gives a pruta to his own shivcha, v'aman, he says to her, Hare at mekudeshesli, you will be my wife. After I free you, it should be a kedushin. So, and as the Rishonim, as Tosfos points out, even though she has to go through a geiris process, it's not the same as the geiris of a person who is non-Jewish. Because as we know, a shivcha kananis and ever kanani are mechuy b'mitzvahs, so you don't need to have the dayanim. Since you don't have to have the dayanim, and it's all required is that he should free her, and that's something that's completely in his control. So the Achroinim ask, How could the Gemara suggest, well, I'll free her and she'll be free and then she'll get married to me? Isn't there halacha that you need that one is not allowed to free a shifcha? Says Seder Achronim that even though what he's doing may be wrong, and the halacha is that you shouldn't free a shifcha, but that doesn't mean if you didn't free the shifcha, it's not considered a valid shichur. And since it's completely in your control, the halacha is that the halacha is that why shouldn't it be contrary to what our Mishnah said, a valid kedushin? It says the Gemara Hasham Hachi Hashta. There's a different consideration. Hasham Mikara Behema. A person before they're Jewish is a different category. Hashta das acheres. Now she becomes Jewish, so she's in a different category of an individual. And since she's in a different category of an individual, so I saw a number of explanations. One pshat is that since she's not in the category of being an individual who is connected to the parasha of Kedushin, since she's not in the category of a person that's able to have a Kedushin, so therefore, the halacha is that even though it's biyadoi, it doesn't make a difference. That's one pshat that I saw. Another pshat that I saw is that, yes, biyadoi is a consideration. But even though biyadoi is a consideration, it's only a consideration where it's not a very strong dovah shelo b'olam. But a shivcha becoming Jewish is a very strong example of a dovah shelo b'olam. And since it's such a strong example of a dovah shelo b'olam, the fact that it's biyadoi won't be enough to take away that consideration. Ask the Gemara, Ela ha'dam rabayishya, ha'nais ha'pruta lishtoi. When somebody gives money to his wife, v'amala ha'reit mekadeshes lilach shagasheich, ena mekadeshes. Hachinami, according to Rabbi Yochanan, should be a good kedushin. Hachinami, or if Yochanan have a kedushin, it should be a valid kedushin, because he has the control that to divorce her. Answer Gemara, na'ad b'yad al-garshi. Yes, he has the control to be able to divorce her. But the question is, biyad al-kacha, it could be, as Rashi says, she won't agree. You could divorce a woman midaraisa without a permission. But when you marry her, you need her consent. So why is that not biyadai? So the Rashba says, a very posh deterrence. The definition of biyadai, says the Rashba, is only a case where it's totally in my control. But it's not totally in my control, that's already not biyadai. Since marriage, by definition, needs the consent of the wife, and that's not something that he has control over, so that even is already not considered biyadai. Says the Gemara, Tifshat d'bayi Rabbi Yishya. So according to this, we should be able to answer the question that Rabbi Yishya posed. Rabbi Yishya posed the question, somebody gives two prutas to a wife. Pruta achas amalos kachli ayoyim. With one pruta, he says, I want to affect the kedushin for today. Or ba'achas, and with the other pruta, he said, amalos kachli lach shagasheich. That it should be effective for after we get divorced, which a new kedushin should kick in. Tif sheminoi. So based on what we just learned, it's a dovah shelo b'olam. It's not biyadoi. The halacha is that it should not have a kedushin. Answers the Gemara Dilma, Kehech the Tafsi Kedushin Hasla, there it may be different. Since these two Kedushin are being packaged together, and Kehech the Tafsi Kedushin Hashta, Tafsi Kedushinami Lachim Kane. Since the two traveling together, if one is effective, the other one is also effective. Says the Gemara Tanika Vosei the Rabbi Yochanan, the Halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan, that it depends if it's biyadai. Says the Gemara, ain't tamei menatolish ala mechubar. You can't take truma from fruit which is already detached or fruit which is still attached. Vim taram, ain't truma su truma. Ketzad, I'm a peres aruzer tolushin. The fruit of this row in my field which are detached. Yir truma peres aruzer mechubaris. On the row that's still attached. Peres aruzer mechubaris. Yir truma peres aruzer tolushin. Loi amat klum, it's all meaningless. Aval Omar, if he said, when they get attached, it should be effective. For nitlishu, when they get detached, the halach is devarim kiyomim. Yes, okay. Continues the Braisa to teach us. Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, afilo amar peres arugazu tolushin yitruma peres arugazu mechuberes. The fruit of this detached row shall work for the row that is attached. Peres arugazu mechuberes. Yitrumas al peres arugazu tolushin lechishiyav ishlish. Even if they only grew a third, for yitlishu, and after they grow a third, which is the time that the mechuyev and trumas, and they detached, the halach is, heviyu tlishlish. Even though they're not completely grown, the devar of kayamim. So in other words, he made the statement in a time where the fruit isn't even roi, ready to be taken off truma. Says comes the Gemara. Amar Rabba, Amar Rabba Elazar ben Yaakov, says the Gemara, even Rabba Elazar ben Yaakov made his statement only in a case, ela b'shachas, by grass that grows, and it grew a little, and that's used for animal feed. So as soon as it grows a little, it has already a chshivas. It's already considered something of significance. Ava ba'agam, of something which is planted for human consumption, and it's not ready for human consumption, loy. Then, since at this point, it's considered meaningless, the halach is that it's not, even Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov would agree that it's not a valid statement. Rabbi Yosef amar afilu ba'agam, says the Gemara, my mashmadai aga loshin de betzlunahu. How do we know that aga means something that grows? Amar b'lozad al makra, the pasuk says in Yeshaya, hakchazeh yitzoyim efchareyu, yoyim anois odem nafsha lechoch ka'agmen roishay. So the pasuk is saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to lower our head, just like the fish bite into the trap. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do true tshuva. So we see that something that's bowed down is considered that it began. And here too, something that grows and starts bending down is considered that it's already grown. Ask the Gemara, Kamana az lahadatanan. If somebody says to someone else, Em yod ishtach an akeva, the case that we discussed at the end of a Mishnah, where somebody says to a man, if your wife will have a girl, but kadeshishli she should be my wife, loy meklon. V'amar Rav Chanina, loy shonu, when is that? Da'alocha el shein ishtam uberes, if the wife is not pregnant at all yet, so it's a dovish labalaylam. Aval ishtam uberes, if she's already pregnant, devar of kayamim, says the Gemara, command, whose opinion does that opinion foul? It says Mar, e karaba, that if it's following the opinion of Rava that says that you have to have shlish, that in order for the statement that we've been learning now about the tfuah to be a valid statement, it had to have grown a third, kishoka ubra, when she's noticeably pregnant, only in a case where she's noticeably pregnant, is it like something that grew a third? Vika Rabbi Yosef, but according to Rabbi Yosef, as soon as it starts to grow, it's enough. Here too, Api Shloi Hukka Ubra, even though it's not noticeable, but she is pregnant, it's enough. Vika Damri, says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, that even though it didn't grow a third, we can make the statement, El B'Shachta Be'Kevsha, that in a field that is able to grow just on rainwater. So since it doesn't depend on human intervention, so even though it didn't grow a third, it's going to grow a third, and therefore, at this point, you could already make the statement. However, something that grows in a field that needs rainwater, loy, there it wouldn't be a valid statement. There, since it requires the human intervention, until you can't be sure it'll ever come to a shlish. And therefore, since it didn't come to a shlish, we can't be certain it will come to a shlish, and therefore the statement is not valid. Since it started to grow, there's every reason to believe it's going to get to a third. On that, asked the Gemara, Kaman azla hodatani, hodatanan, haim l'chaveyam yalda ishtach in the cave of Mekadeshesli lo'yam aklum, v'amar chanina lo'yshanu el k'shen ishtam uberis, el ishtam uberis devarim kayamim, command, who's a treatment, says the Gemara, Shuka Obra, it's going to be in a case where she's already noticeably pregnant, and Kedivrei Yaakov, because both Rava and Rabbi Yosef will agree that Rabbi Elazar and Yaakov both hold that it has to be noticeably grown. But if it isn't noticeably grown, the difference is, does it grow from rainwater or does it need human intervention? But everybody agrees that it has to be noticeably, everybody agrees that it has to be noticeably grown. And if you don't have it noticeably grown, it would not be considered a valid kedushin. A valid kedushin.